content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Let me redo that. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Patricia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Time Magazine. Today's program is supported by G. Suggs Insurance, a SureVest insurance group company. They can be reached at gsuggsinsurance.com. That's gsuggsinsurance.com. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Time Magazine edition of April 27, 2026. This is an unusual edition. It contains the world's most influential people. And up at the top it says 100. Oh, I don't think I'll be reading all 100, but that is the content of this issue of Time Magazine. It looks the same as usual. On the outside, the cover is bordered in red with a white narrow inner border. Time is in large block capital lettering, T-I-M-E in gray, superimposed upon a darker gray background. And 100 is in the same font size as Time, and it's in bold white. The world's most influential people. And the cover features Nikki Glaser. This is a female with long blonde hair, Caucasian person, dressed in a pantsuit, the jacket of which is in a traditional-looking British plaid. I don't know the name of the plaid. It's a pale brown background with white and dark brown and medium brown striping. It's double-breasted. There are dark pants worn also by the model. They look like dark brown, perhaps with a velour texture. Spike heels, either black or dark brown. A white shirt. The collar is seen. It looks like men's tailoring. The shirt is white with gold stripes, and there's a tie knotted in the traditional manner in beige with gold and brown diagonal stripes. The lapel pin looks like gold, and it looks like a an ellipse. That's as close as I can come to it. It's oblong, the way it's attached to that large lapel. All right, I'm going to begin with Time's 100 Most Influential People. If I run across a story, I will stop and read that. The first person is listed under the artists. There will be various categories of these people. I'm going to select them randomly. Luke Combs, Country Superstar by Ed Sheeran. And Sheeran is a Grammy-winning musician. And there's a photo here by Mark Seliger for Time. It's of a young man. It's in black and white. So he looks like a country star. He's got blue jeans, cowboy boots, either a denim or a corduroy long-sleeved shirt. He has a cap, like a Pioneer seed corn cap, except it has no branding on it. He's looking down from, that is, away from the camera, down at maybe his guitar case that's situated next to him. He's seated. He looks like he has a ready color facial hair. His head, of course, is covered by the non-insignia cap, and he's holding a guitar. Now, Luke Combs, C-O-M-B-S. Ed Sheeran writes, I first met Luke Combs in 2018 when I was living in Nashville. I had heard his song, When It Rains, It Pours, while on holiday with my schoolmates, and it quickly became our soundtrack. As soon as I met Luke, I knew he was a good bloke, with talent just spilling out of him. Over the years, I've watched him move from album to album and tour to tour, constantly evolving, not just as an artist, but also as a human, and always for the better. He has scaled the highest heights of music while remaining loving and kind to those around him. People might call that normal, but there is nothing normal about what Luke has achieved. He is an incredible writer, singer, and performer. I love his commitment to his family and how that reflects in his music. My favorite album of his is Fathers and Sons. It's a perfect snapshot for any parent of how life is in the moment. I am looking forward to whatever is next because, really, it can be anything. Benicio del Toro, Scene Stealer by Paul Thomas Anderson, who is an Oscar-winning director, writer, and producer. I used to bemoan the fact that I would never get to work with Humphrey Bogart or Spencer Tracy or John Garfield or Charles Laughton. Then one day I woke up and realized I had Benicio del Toro. If I were a movie screen, each year I would make a national holiday celebrating Benicio del Toro and thank him for showing up and blessing me with soul, humor, charisma, and mystery. I have had the pleasure of working with Benicio twice. My time with him in El Paso, Texas, making one battle after another, is the highlight of my career. There is not a moment from that experience that I do not remember and cherish. My man is as funny as he is deep. He's as wide as the world and as vast as the ocean. Working with him is rewarding, hilarious, fun, and thrilling. How many people fit that description? Happy Benicio del Toro Day 2026. Turning the page to Ranbir Kapoor, Cinematic Ambassador by Ayushman Khurrana. Khurrana is an actor. There are actors who chase legacy, and there are actors who become one through their craft. Ranbir Kapoor is the latter. In an industry as prolific and passionate as Indian cinema, we often measure greatness in decibels, box office numbers, fan frenzy, opening weekends. But every once in a while, an actor shifts something quieter, yet far more enduring, our emotional vocabulary as an audience. Ranbir has been doing that film after film. In a world where performances are often amplified, Ranbir internalizes. He shows our culture through quiet restraint. He represents the India that is finally learning how to listen to itself and leaves a mark through simple authenticity. Globally, actors like Ranbir become important cultural bridges. He embodies an India that is evolving, not just in scale, but also in sensitivity. Our cinema is influencing the world. Ranbir is not just a movie star. He is a storyteller talking to a global audience and telling them stories of a fabled, mythical country where epics like the Ramayana have inspired other civilizations and cultures. Noah Weil, W-Y-L-E, by, it says Genuine Soul, by LeVar Burton, who is a director and an Emmy-nominated actor. Noah Weil is one of those people who you'd love to hate, except you cannot, because he is such a great guy. He is immensely talented, ridiculously accomplished. Just look at his two Emmys for The Pit, where he is writer, director, executive producer, and star. Handsome, smart, funny, and those are just his most obvious traits. He wears his compassionate nature as effortlessly as he does his easy sense of humor. A rapier wit, a natty dresser, a great listener. When he says, "Let me know if there's anything I can do," he genuinely means it. Countless are the times I've considered myself fortunate to call him my friend. He is simply one of my favorite human beings on the planet. Chief among his enviable traits is probably his humility. I am willing to wager good money that upon reading this, he will have a difficult time taking it all in. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a saint. I don't know if he's eligible. But for Noah, we should probably go look up the rules. Tayari Jones, Literary Light, by Imani Perry, who is professor at Harvard and National Book Award-winning author. A daughter of Atlanta and a writer of the world, Tayari Jones has blazed her own path through American fiction. Her sensitive coming-of-age stories bloom into rich landscapes of black women's interior lives. In them, key social issues and important historical moments come alive by way of her characters' wounds, yearnings, and dreams. Her fifth and most recent novel, Kin, is an exquisite journey through a lifelong friendship between two girls born in Louisiana who enter adulthood at the dawn of the freedom movement. In this novel, as in her preceding books, Tayari revels in language that's both literary and vernacular, and she uses her abundant gifts to deeply contemplate love in all its complexity. Standing in the tradition of civil rights organizers and writers of the late 20th century black women's literary renaissance, she wears these inheritances like a crown. Tayari is building a legacy while nurturing her fellow writers and dazzling her readers with grace, charm, poise, and a brilliant smile. Jenny, no last name, J-E-N-N-I-E, Supernova by Gracie Abrams, who is a Grammy-nominated musician. To cut to the chase, Jenny is a star. I could go on and on about her accomplishments or her influence in pop culture. But sitting down to write, the thing that comes to mind is that the magic at her core, the power that draws you into Jenny the artist when you are watching her on screen or as one of 100,000 people in a stadium, is identical to the power she carries when you find her in the corner of a party or run into her in a backstage hallway. What makes Jenny a true star is that even in her quiet moments, she possesses the same kind of undeniable presence that cuts through all the noise, and she carries that with kindness and warmth. She is the type of person who will grab both your hands and squeeze them. She has a softness that only emphasizes her strength. I just love her. Jafar Panahi, Defiant Director, by Nazanin Boniadi, who is an actor, producer, and activist. I'm going to go to prison for a year, and I'll come out with a new script. Before his recent return to his homeland, iconic Iranian filmmaker Jafar Panahi understood the risks. He has spent decades turning censorship into cinematic resistance, using his craft to pull back the curtain on the realities of life in Iran. At a time when, even before the perils of war, thousands of Iranians were killed for demanding liberty, his work meets the moment with honesty and urgency. Although previously imprisoned for his art, he continues to create. His latest film, It Was Just an Accident, which he shot secretly in Iran, lays bare the political trauma of a nation enduring decades of repression where justice has yet to arrive. For this, he received the Palme d'Or at the 2025 Cannes Film Festival and two Academy Award nominations. Predictably, the regime had imposed a one-year prison sentence in absentia, alongside sweeping restrictions on his life and work, and still he persists. Through unvarnished and deeply human storytelling, Jafar reminds us that art, at its most powerful, is an act of freedom. Turning the page now into the pioneers section. Mr. Beast, that's one word, MRBEAST, Eyes on the Prize, by Jeff Probst, who is the Emmy-winning host of Survivor. I recently had the pleasure of working alongside Mr. Beast, and what struck me most was not just the scale at which he operates, but how easily he moves within that world. He runs an incredibly complex operation with total clarity, yet stays open to any idea that might make it better. It is a rare combination, precision and curiosity, discipline and play. You see it in how he leads. There's an energy that feels almost chaotic, but it's grounded in trust, momentum, and a shared belief that a great idea can come from anywhere. I left genuinely inspired by the way he works and empowers the people around him. He built the largest subscriber base on YouTube by understanding attention better than anyone. What stands out is what he does with it. He treats attention like a resource, reinventing it into bigger ideas, bigger risks, real-world impact, and an extraordinary level of generosity that's become central to who he is. Being around him even briefly, you get the sense we are only at the beginning of what he is capable of. Next, Sarah Friar, F-R-I-A-R, and Sarah with an H, Transformative Leader, by Tim Cadogan, who is CEO of GoFundMe. Sarah Friar has been an essential force in shaping some of the world's most transformative companies, including both Square and OpenAI, where today she serves as Chief Financial Officer, creating new pathways for growth. Steering such businesses requires remarkable leadership, navigating immense uncertainty to help colleagues do their best work. Sarah brings a rare combination of operating rigor, creative judgment, and deep personal connection, all powered by fierce intelligence and burning curiosity. One of her greatest strengths is how she earns trust with people, both inside and outside her companies. That trust encourages them to tell her what they are truly seeing and thinking, not the glossy version. She then synthesizes those perspectives into a richer understanding of the whole picture, enabling her to make exceptional decisions that balance risk and opportunity with a rare clarity. Sarah's intellectual courage, warmth, and conviction make her a true breakout leader, both for breakout businesses and for the leaders she elevates alongside her. Mariangela Hungria, Feeding the World, by Kyla Mandel, who is a Time senior editor. Roughly half of humanity grows its food with the help of century-old technology, synthetic fertilizers. Fertilizers revolutionized agriculture, providing essential nutrients to plants, but they come with downsides. Apply too much and the runoff can contaminate waterways. And since it is made from fossil fuels, the product has a significant carbon footprint. Mariangela Hungria found another way. A 2025 World Food Prize-winning Brazilian agronomist and microbiologist, she's been working with Brazil's Embrapa, Brazilian Agricultural Research Corporation, to develop soil microbes that allow crops to more naturally pull nitrogen from the air. Today, thanks to her work, 85% of Brazil's soybeans are grown using these microbes rather than synthetic fertilizers. Her scientific innovations used around the world have helped Brazilian farmers save a combined estimated $25 billion per year and avoid releasing 230 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent emissions. I'll never give up, she told Time last year, on working for a better world. Huron, Musunuru, and Rebecca Ahrens Nicholas, developing an innovative treatment by Jennifer Doudna, who is a Nobel Prize-winning biochemist and founder of the Innovative Genomics Institute. Since its advent in 2012, CRISPR, genome editing technology, has held the potential to change medicine. But getting from a research breakthrough to practical impacts on patients is no simple feat. In 2025, doctors Kiran Musunuru and Rebecca Ahrens Nicholas showed it can be done. When baby KJ was born with a rare metabolic disease, giving him a 50% chance of dying in infancy, the pair led a remarkable multi-institutional team that designed, tested, and administered a personalized gene editing therapy in just 6 months. Baby KJ is now home with his family and recently took his first steps. This achievement goes beyond one child. Musunuru and Ahrens Nicholas brought together innovations from across biomedical science and proved that on-demand CRISPR therapies can be developed safely and quickly enough to help patients who do not have years to wait. A decade from now, their names will be in medical textbooks, not only for baby KG, but for opening the door to personalized genetic medicine for thousands of children after him. Nancy Silverton, Nourishing Change, by Ruth Reichel, who is former editor-in-chief of Gourmet. When Nancy Silverton won the very first James Beard Award for Outstanding Pastry Chef, in 1991, a shockwave went rocketing through the food world. A young California woman had beaten two celebrated European men. It was the beginning of a revolution. Young American chefs were invading restaurant kitchens and changing the way we eat, and women were leading the charge. Nancy has never stopped moving forward. When she could not find decent bread for her Los Angeles restaurant, she created La Brea Bakery. Then she introduced a new way of baking and began selling her sourdough loaves in supermarkets. It changed our food landscape, but a greater change was yet to come. In this moment, when fine dining is being roiled by toxic behavior, Nancy's 8 restaurants offer proof. Nastiness is no recipe for success. Nancy's greatest strength has always been her enormous generosity. 30 years ago, I interviewed a man who was about to open a bakery. She told me everything, he said. I never did figure out why. And that is Nancy's secret. Like all great chefs, she wants to nourish people. But she understands that food alone is not enough. It is undoubtedly why the James Beard Foundation plans to give her its Lifetime Achievement Award. Shannon Minter, Suing for Equality, by Ricardo Martinez, who is Executive Director of GLBTQ Legal Advocates and Defenders, GLAD Law. There are advocates who chase the spotlight and those who simply do the work. Shannon Minter, one of the most consequential civil rights attorneys of our generation, is unambiguously the latter. This past year, I watched Shannon, the legal director of the National Center for LGBTQ Rights, argue in Talbot v. USA, representing transgender service members in their battle to continue to serve our country. while working in deep collaboration with partners including GLAD Laws, Jennifer Levi. When you hear Shannon before the court, what strikes you is his conviction. His steadiness comes from operating squarely within the truth that the Constitution's promise is real, the American dream belongs to all of us, and law, wielded with courage and precision, can be an instrument of genuine justice. With over 30 years of major victories, Shannon carries none of his successes with ego. He has a soft core, a brilliant mind, and a love for all beings that radiates even in a courtroom. He reminds us why this work matters and what it looks like to serve something greater than yourself. C.C. Wei, W.E.I., Powering AI, by Jensen Huang, who is co-founder and CEO of NVIDIA. C.C. Wei, and it may be Y, I'm pronouncing it Wei, leads one of the world's most consequential companies. TSMC has transcended its origins as a chip manufacturer to become the technology platform upon which entire industries are built. At its helm is a humble, disciplined man, a leader, partner, and friend I have known for over two decades. During CC's tenure as CEO, the world moved from mobile-first to AI-first computing. He recognized this inflection early and helped shift TSMC from only fabricating chips to also creating integrated systems of chips, assembled in complex 3D packages and soon connected with silicon photonics. This evolution made NVIDIA's AI supercomputers possible and helped ignite today's AI revolution. What the company's founder, Morris Chang, created, a pure play foundry built on trust, excellence, and partnership, CC has continued to elevate. From PC to internet, mobile to AI, TSMC's unwavering commitment to customers has made it indispensable. TSMC delivers technological excellence and capacity, but it represents far more, a trusted platform to create the tools reshaping our lives. CC Wei is truly one of the most influential people of our time. Josh D'Amaro, Ascendant CEO, by Bob Iger, who is a former CEO of Walt Disney Company. I believe in the future of the Walt Disney Company because I believe in Josh D'Amaro. He has a deep appreciation for what Disney means to the world, and his wealth of knowledge about the company is bolstered by a strong and abiding respect for Disney fans worldwide. His ability to connect with people is one of his superpowers, and I know it will serve him well as the 8th CEO of the Walt Disney Company. Josh fundamentally understands how quality, attention to detail, and bold creativity set Disney apart. He will certainly carry those values with him as he leads the company forward. Josh also knows creativity is the fuel that has always powered Disney, and I am confident that under his leadership, creators and creative processes will endure and thrive. I could not be happier for Josh, for the company, for the millions and millions of Disney fans who love this place and expect it will continue as a beacon of happiness and joy to the world. All right, after this article, we're moving from the pioneers section into the leaders section. Lauren Hirsch and Rachel Foster, Standing Up for Survivors, by Pramila Jayapal, who is a Democrat and a U.S. Congresswoman for Washington State. Our country is at a moment of reckoning. The Epstein files have clearly exposed the cruelty of those who used their wealth and power to groom and abuse over 1,000 women and girls. They thought their influence would shield them forever, but thanks to the advocacy and organizing work of Lauren Hirsch and Rachel Foster, alongside the survivor community, it is now clear we must not rest until those responsible are held accountable. World Without Exploitation, which Lauren and Rachel co-founded, has lifted the voices of the survivors and built a sisterhood that supports survivors and showcases their courage, strength, and tenacity. They have fought for change and made it happen with the release of the files. Taken together, this network continues to expose the depravity of what these women endured and to demand accountability from a society that has closed its eyes to the horrors for far too long. Thanks to their work, we are moving toward justice. Thank you, Lauren and Rachel, for standing up for survivors and women everywhere. Turning the page now into the leaders section of Time's 100 Influential People. Well, I am looking at a full-page photo spread of Pope Leo XIV, formerly Robert Prevost of Chicago, Illinois. The photograph is by Yara Nardi. It's in black and white. The Pope is wearing his white clerical vestments, including the hat, or cap, I guess it is, a cape. We see him just from above the waist and upward. He has a silver chain around his neck, which I am guessing anchors across. He's looking upward, smiling at a camera just above him. Pope Leo XIV, Spiritual Force, by Martin Scorsese, who is an Oscar-winning filmmaker. The election of Pope Francis, a man I came to know and love as a friend, marked a turning point in the history of the Roman Catholic Church. He was the first pope born outside Europe since the Middle Ages and the first Jesuit. Pope Leo XIV is the first North American-born pope with a Chicago accent and the first Augustinian in 500 years. I am struck by his bravery and his common touch. And he seems to share Francis' understanding that the Church needs to reform itself to retain its moral and spiritual force. For many, the Church has lost a great deal of moral and spiritual credibility. Revelations of widespread sexual abuse and financial wrongdoing keep coming up, and many Christians have grown more secular over the years. The Church is at a crossroads, and it may once again be remaking itself. Pope Francis always stressed the Church was not a building or a symbol, but the actual teachings of Jesus. I believe Pope Leo shares that view. Like Francis, he seems to be committed to giving the laity a more active role in the leadership of the faith and the practice of charity. Pope Leo recently wrote the introduction to a new edition of The Practice of the Presence of God, written by 17th century French Carmelite friar, Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. I know the book well. A friend gave me a copy a few years ago, and I've since passed it along to many others. It offers a model for finding God in daily life and for taking the Church out of buildings, no matter how majestic, and into everyday existence. All Christian ethics, writes Pope Leo, can truly be summed up in this continual calling to mind the fact that God is present. He is here. I am encouraged by his words. Okay, moving on through the leaders section. Gavin Newsom, determined governor, by Philip Elliott, who is a Time senior correspondent. Unlike most lame duck governors, California's Gavin Newsom seems ascendant. While his withering criticism of President Donald Trump has made him a national player, his work at home to add universal transitional kindergarten, to build the world's largest air-based firefighting operation, and to move toward spending over $3 billion on digital infrastructure is what won him converts. Newsom now enjoys some of the best poll numbers in the way-too-early surveys of the emerging 2028 presidential field. California's monetary might, it is the fourth largest economy on the planet, means Newsom's decisions sway national debates on everything from environmental regulation to consumer safety. But there are plenty of questions about his record leading a state with a stubbornly high poverty rate, one of the nation's highest tax rates, and a quarter of its unhoused population. Newsom argues he's the fighter Democrats need in the Trump era. Making that case will take work, but he is widely viewed as a possible front runner in the party's emerging field of presidential hopefuls. Sanae Takaichi, Making History, by Yuriko Koike, who is governor of Tokyo. We witnessed a transformative and historic moment when Sanae Takaichi became Japan's first female prime minister in October. Japan's political world once had an iron ceiling that kept women from the nation's highest decision-making role. Throughout her long career in national politics, Takaichi challenged that constraint. 80 years after women in Japan gained the right to vote, she shattered the ceiling at last. This sent a jolt through a political landscape long dominated by male inheritance. Prime Minister Takaichi's rise proves that Japanese society has matured enough to elect and welcome female leaders at the highest level. A society that allows women to thrive is one where everyone can show their true colors. Only when women, half the population, can shine more brightly will our future be full of vitality. I welcome Takaichi's ascent as a solid step toward realizing that future. Gwen Shotwell, Aiming High, by Arianna Huffington, who is founder and CEO of Thrive Global. And here is a disclosure in small print. Investors in SpaceX include Time co-chair and owner Mark Benioff. Gwen Shotwell is one of the few executives for whom the sky is not, in fact, the limit. In 2002, she joined SpaceX as the company's seventh employee. Now as president and COO, she leads over 23,000 employees in the mission to revolutionize space travel and technology. In an industry known for slow timelines and bureaucratic caution, she is leaving conventional wisdom on the launch pad. SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket was the first to treat the world to the brain-bending sight of a rocket landing itself, and each of the past 6 years has set a new annual launch record, with 165 in 2025. The company's Starlink constellation currently has over 10,000 satellites in orbit, providing internet service to people all over the world. Her leadership has been just as essential on terra firma, guiding SpaceX in its recent acquisition of XAI, as well as the April announcement of its IPO. to negotiations with stakeholders, government entities, and colorful personalities, Shotwell brings her own uniquely effective combination of diplomacy, judgment, charisma, and credibility. She is quietly making the impossible possible. Donald Trump, Consequential President, by Eric Cortalesa. Cortalesa is a Time senior correspondent. Donald Trump's presidency resists easy historical comparison. In the past year alone, he's pushed through a massive tax overhaul, despite objections from some in his own party, imposed sweeping tariffs on dozens of countries, and pursued an expansive deportation agenda, deploying military-style units into major U.S. cities. Abroad, he's wielded force with startling scope, escalating from ordering strikes on Iranian nuclear sites to waging broader war with Tehran, and from campaigns against alleged drug traffickers in the Caribbean to a dramatic intervention in Venezuela that culminated in the capture of Nicolas Maduro. Through it all, Trump has moved markets, shifted alliances, and redrawn the boundaries of acceptable statecraft. The cumulative effect has been a new global order, one that is increasingly shaped not by systems or institutions, but by the will of a single man. Henna Virkkunen, Virkkunen, Europe's Tech Chief, by Margrethe Vestager, who is a former Executive Vice President of the European Commission and former EU Commissioner for Competition. Henna Virkkunen brings to her role at the European Commission the same disciplined endurance she applies to running marathons, including a double marathon of 84 kilometers and competing in Ironman triathlons. A horsewoman since childhood, she remains as grounded in the physical world as she is fluent in the digital one. That groundedness matters because her portfolio as Executive Vice President for Tech Sovereignty, Security, and Democracy may be the most consequential of this commission. Virkkunen must hold the line on Europe's digital rule book, fulfilling citizens' expectations while under sustained pressure from Washington, and simultaneously streamlining regulation and building genuine open technological sovereignty through plans to nurture AI on the continent, better foster digital infrastructure, and put forth a package of proposals to support tech sovereignty, add cybersecurity and undersea cables to the brief, and the stakes become clear. In turbulent times, Europe needs someone with stamina. It found one. Xi Jinping, Consolidating Control, by Charlie Campbell, who is a Time editor-at-large. Since taking control of China in 2012, Xi Jinping has extended an iron grip over every facet of the world's number two economy, purging generals, bridling tech oligarchs, entrenching the Chinese Communist Party as the paramount state organ. Now, Xi has shifted his focus from boosting China's global standing to rewriting how the world works. Last year, the China-led Shanghai Cooperation Organization unveiled plans for its own development bank and launched an initiative to amplify the voice of Global South, for which Asia's superpower is the self-appointed principal. Meanwhile, Xi leveraged China's dominance of rare earths to cow geopolitical rivals, exploited U.S. tariff anarchy to ink new trade agreements, swelled the reach of China's currency as a dollar alternative, not least for nations facing U.S. sanctions. Xi is advancing his core interests, finding new markets for Chinese companies, and ramping up activity against self-ruling Taiwan, where fears of invasion grow. The world has entered a new period of tumultuous change, and global governance has arrived at a new crossroads, Xi said in September. No prizes for guessing who he thinks should light the path ahead. Rafael Mariano Grossi, Nuclear Negotiator, by Carl Vick, who is a Time editor-at-large. One measure of a diplomat is whether, even when world governance falls out of favor, states still open their doors to you. After Russian troops overran the Zaporizhia atomic plant in Ukraine, both sides cleared the way for an inspection team headed by Rafael Mariano Grossi, chief of the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, to assess the damage and help keep the core cooled. Iran was about to show IAEA inspectors a new facility in June 2025 when Israel attacked, a day after the agency's board declared Tehran was violating the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Grossi, an Argentine, is a leading candidate for Secretary General of the UN, which he sees as essential. If you look at Gaza, South Sudan, the Caucasus, India and Pakistan, Cambodia, the common denominator is the absence of the United Nations. This cannot continue. But first, there's the business of assessing the state of Iran's nuclear program in the wake of the massive U.S. and Israeli attack. We're still in the leaders section. Netumbo Nandi Undaitwa, Breaking Barriers, by Winnie Byanyima, who's executive director of UNAIDS. Netumbo Nandi Undaitwa's life reflects a powerful, often overlooked truth. African women were central to the struggle against colonial rule. As a young woman, she left her home to join Namibia's liberation movement in exile, helping to secure independence and shape a vision of a democratic nation grounded in dignity, equality, and shared prosperity. She has faithfully carried that vision into national leadership, serving in senior roles, including foreign minister, which culminated in her election as Namibia's first female president. Today, she's breaking barriers for African women and women globally, leading an inclusive government where women hold the highest offices. On the global stage, she has been a consistent and respected voice from the global South, advancing equity and justice through key international agreements, including the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action on Women's Rights, and helping shape a more just, safe, and equitable world. Whether as liberation fighter or president, Netumbo embodies courage, conviction, and transformative leadership. Jacob Frey, F-R-E-Y, Standing Firm, by Julia Teruso, who is a Time senior correspondent. Jacob Frey became an adopted son of Minneapolis in 2009, drawn by the city's trails and lakes after running its marathon. His three terms as mayor have been an endurance test of another sort. Frey led the city through the aftermath of the police killing of George Floyd, the COVID pandemic, and the largest federal immigration enforcement operation in U.S. history. From a walnut conference table in City Hall, he directed the unprecedented logistical response to having 4,000 federal agents on the ground. His careful demeanor gave way at times to raw frustration. "Get the F space CK out of Minneapolis," he told ICE in January, after community member Renee Good was shot and killed. As the enforcement surge recedes, Fry is trying to knit together a city where businesses and daily life were hollowed out by fear. "The nuts and bolts of governing are part of his pushback," he told Time, "filling potholes, keeping services running, showing that we can have democratically run cities that work." Mark Kelly, Resolute senator by Nick Popley, who is a Time reporter. "Astronauts are trained to expect turbulence." Mark Kelly, the Arizona senator long removed from his days as a NASA space shuttle pilot, found himself facing particularly choppy air last year after he helped record a video reminding troops they are not required to follow illegal orders. What might once have passed as a routine assertion of military law triggered a political firestorm. President Donald Trump called the effort seditious and punishable by death, while Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth launched at a Pentagon review aimed at stripping Kelly, a decorated former Navy captain, of his rank and cutting his pension. Kelly refused to back down, suing the Pentagon and emerging as one of the Democratic Party's most visible antagonists of the Trump administration. Allies say Kelly, long seen as a disciplined but understated lawmaker, boosted his political standing in the process. Kelly was already on the short list for vice president in 2024. Now Democrats openly discuss his potential in 2028, if not as a presidential contender, perhaps as a future Secretary of Defense. Marco Rubio, Reshaping Relations by Philip Elliott, who is a Time senior correspondent. Once a fierce rival to and bitter critic of Donald Trump, Marco Rubio has settled into two of the most consequential jobs in Washington, a double billing as Secretary of State and National Security Advisor, a power monopoly held only once before by Henry Kissinger. It has the former senator from Florida at the center of some of the biggest moves of Trump's second term, including the capture of the Venezuelan leader, the massive joint military assault on Iran, the ongoing machinations around the pursuit of peace in Ukraine and the Middle East, as well as dicey diplomatic talks over tariffs, immigration, and even Greenland. The nimble shift from Trump critic to the executor of Trump's foreign policy has repaired Rubio's relationship with the MAGA base and puts him in position to possibly inherit the Trumpist movement in 2028. Yet it also comes with risks. He owns the Trump record now in a way that could one day prove problematic. Betting on Trump's instincts is as high risk as it might be high reward. Balendra Shaw, Generational Change by Charlie Campbell, who is a Time editor at large. "Money seems to grow on trees for those that sell their integrity," raps Balendra Shaw, the 35-year-old Nepali former hip-hop star, who in March was elected the Himalayan nation's youngest ever prime minister. That landslide victory was galvanized by deadly street protests in the fall, led by a Gen Z determined to purge a political old guard perceived as venal and out of touch. Enter Shaw, a civil engineering graduate whose brooding stage presence and abrasive polemics skewering corrupt officials powered his becoming 4 years ago Kathmandu's mayor, and now leader of Nepal's 30 million people. Balin's rise is as much populist youthquake as it is wholesale repudiation of South Asia's ossified dynastic politics, sending shudders through the region's establishment. As Mayor Balin managed to cut through bureaucratic red tape to improve waste management, education, and health care, much hinges on whether this professed devotee of Tupac Shakur and 50 Cent can translate that success onto the national stage. All politicians, new and old, are thieves, Balin once posted on social media. Nepalis will hope he proves himself wrong. We have run out of time for today's episode of Time Magazine, which is generously supported by G. Suggs Insurance, a SureVest Insurance Group company. They can be reached at gsuggsinsurance.com. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I am Patricia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Time Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number here at the office and studios is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.